we continue on this Monday night. Very happy to have you all on board, and thank you. Some of you sent really nice emails about this program with Erica and in general the program, and many of you have been listening for, 25 years, some of you, and even more. But you are appreciated, and the nice words really matter. And a few have been sending in donations. Thank you very, very much for your concern and your help. I hated to do it, but you know the game. They won't let me have what I need to use credit cards easily. It's been a war. I'm going to try again. But those of you who have taken time to send in a check and so forth, it really matters. Thank you. Some have sent a little bit of cash, and that's nice. It doesn't matter. But you're the greatest. This is the best audience in talk radio, I have no doubt in my mind. All right, let's bring my other half on. Are you there?
I am. Welcome to another week.
Yeah, another week it is. Another week. Maybe it'll be a hot fudge Sunday. Hot fudge Sunday will help.
Yeah.
That's better than ivermectin, right?
Oh, yes, I agree.
I don't know. I do know that when I was a kid, we would take off from elementary school at lunchtime and bicycle, I don't know, it was 6 or 8 blocks to the main boulevard, and there was a little pharmacy there called Pink's Pharmacy. This is in Newport Beach, Costa Mesa. And Pink's Pharmacy had a full-on, old-fashioned, well, then it wasn't, a soda fountain. You could get a soda, you could get malt, you could get banana splits, you could get burger, you could get anything. And we'd go there at lunch. You know, 6, 7 of us would ride our bikes. We weren't supposed to, but we'd sneak away. And I'd have hot fudge sundaes or a chocolate shake. And those tasted so good then. They actually tasted healthy for you. Now, I don't even try because the cows are eating food that's not my style, and I just don't trust any of it anymore. Too many ingredients. I looked to buy ice cream. I buy coconut ice cream, but I looked for chocolate fudge, hot fudge. Now, you know of a good one, but I looked here, and they had Hershey's, and they had something else, and I read the ingredients. No. Because they make a good product. Hot fudge. Do you remember the name of the hot fudge?
Oh, no, you cut out there. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, you sent me once hot fudge for a hot fudge sundae, and it was really good. And the crap now is poison.
Yeah, you really, it's a struggle to find a good brand. I think one of the better ones is that Harrell's.
That's the one you sent me. Harrell's.
Mm. Harrell's.
Spell it.
I believe it's H-E-R-R-E-L-L.
Maybe double
Harrell's.
L.
Yeah.
Anyway. Just be careful out there, friends, because, I mean, I picked up this Hershey hot fudge product. It must have had 30 ingredients in it.
No,
25
at
least. No.
No.
No. When I used to eat hot fudge sundaes, they actually tasted somewhat nutritious. I know they may not have been, but...
Well, it tasted real.
Dairy product, thank you. Dairy products back then weren't loaded with, you know, bovine leukemia virus. I know it's pasteurized out of there and all, but still. Cows were cows back then, not some kind of chemical pharmaceutical monstrosity that consumes 75% of all the antibiotics brought into this country are fed to primarily cattle in feedlots and in dairies. It doesn't matter. They just don't want them to get sick. No timed off. They got to keep working so they can't get sick. Anyway,
yeah.
That's for you hot fudge sundae fans out there. Enjoy, but be forewarned. Things are not what they used to be. One day I'll have another one. One day. They're just not as good at home as they were in the soda fountains. They were
That's
really
true.
Good. You don't know what soda fountains. You're too young.
Oh, no, we had our share.
You're good. See, I'm 96. Erica's only 73. So I guess we remember. Okay, what are we here to do beside help our dear friends out there with some reality and some truth and some facts, factual data that can help them try to make their way through this horrific nightmare of genocide is what it is. And
yeah.
they've got their injections done. Now, John O'Looney has a new little, it's a minute and a half, but he makes a very important point. He doesn't say that it's the COVID that's mixed in with the multivax that this woman got. You'll hear the story.
No, we know what it is. This is nothing new.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that you all understand that he is talking about including a COVID so-called vaccine in what this lady got. And it's disgusting. You cannot go into a hospital and take anything for granted anymore. Nothing. You've got to fight your way through it. This lady needed a tetanus shot. All right, here's what
happened. What happened was they don't just give a tetanus shot now. It's a 3-in-1, meaning it's DTP, diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus.
Right.
So you're going to get more than you bargained for.
I think he's implying that the lady also got a COVID vax.
No.
Well, she sure got sick in a hurry.
Well, that's not surprising. You know, this goes along with what we were talking about with the pets and going to a vet for a vaccine, and so many pets now are having adverse reactions to vaccines, more so than usual, not that they didn't in the past. But what has changed is this virus is doing a number on the immune systems of both people and animals. So you're not going to respond normally.
No.
You're probably going to have some kind of, deranged immune response. Not that that couldn't happen by injecting these antigens anyway, but people's immune systems are not what they were. So having these highly allergic reactive responses is not really a surprise.
Well, who knows what's in there now? I don't honestly know.
Well, and I think he said her husband is vaxxed. So she's living, with a vaxxed partner.
And maybe that somehow interacted with his 3-in-1. Maybe.
Well, yeah, as I said, her immune system is not going to be normal. No how, no way.
Oh, it's already dragged
down. I can say that with confidence.
Yes. So, all right. And in any case, here's John O'Looney. We'll just call it words to the wise, okay?
Just took a call from a very distressed Irish lady who was very awake from day one and was committed to never having a vaccine. She was in total disagreement with her husband, who was very pro-vax. But they both did their own thing respectfully, and she continued to turn them down. She caught a hand in the door, damaged a finger, went to Frimley Hospital, and was given a tetanus. And she suddenly became very unwell over a course of the following weeks, and has had various ailments. At one point, she couldn't walk. Anyway, it transpired she got in touch with the hospital and inquired as to what she was given, and they gave her a 3-in-1 vaccine instead of a tetanus shot, just a tetanus shot. She was vaccinated against her will, and they said that, well, they've learned lessons now, and they'll implement those lessons in their training moving forward. So this is a warning to anyone who goes to hospital who thinks they're having a tetanus. They're fucking vaccinating people with tetanus shots now. So please don't have any NHS injection. She begged me to pass that on to you all, because she's now, her health is ruined because they've vaccinated her without her knowledge. You know, it's disgusting. These people, they're disgusting fucking criminals.
Amen, John. I still think he's suggesting possibly that they snuck a COVID shot in there with it.
Well, he may be under that impression, but, you know, the 3-in-1 is the DTP.
Understood, but it could be.
Well,
you're right.
Nobody knows what's in these things at the end of the day. You're right.
No. And her immunological competence is already corrupted. So they nail her with a 3-in-1, and even if it didn't have the COVID, and I honestly think he was suggesting that they did give her the COVID, but he didn't say that. I don't know. Anyway, she was set up and ready to be nailed, and now her health is ruined.
With no recourse.
None. Oh, no. You heard him say NHS, that's National Health Service, that's UK. So, look, the genocide
is... You've got to be on guard and asking questions.
Underway.
You just...
Her husband has been shedding on her ever since he got injected, and she's been taken down.
Yeah.
So
that would be my guess.
Disgusting, as he said. Correctly so. All right, let's see what else we got going here. A couple of headlines I wanted to get to. Where did they go? Let's say yesterday. There it is. Okay. There's a lot going on that you won't normally hear about. You'll never hear about it in the mainstream media. And if you hear about it in the alt news media, in many cases it's corrupted. It's been reformatted to try to enhance the ego of the people who are behind presenting it. So you just don't know what you're getting. This Dr. Dolores Cahill pronouncement several years ago that everyone who's taken even one shot is going to die in 3 to 5 years after that shot. That's been picked up now, and it's recirculating with a vengeance out there. The alt news world is pushing it all over the place as if it's a brand new statement. It's not, but it's still a very important statement. Now,
well, and we can add to that Gerrit Vandenbosch's predictions that
yes.
You know, this next wave of COVID is really going to basically take down what's left of these vax people. This latest variant, this flirt variant.
FLIRT.
Yeah, is very contagious. Very contagious.
Every new variant seems to be becoming more contagious. Now, is that a factor of the variant, or is it a factor of 80 to 90% of the people have no immune defense left?
Well, that's just it. They're chronically infected. They can't overcome it. They can't extinguish it. So it keeps mutating.
There's another headline.
And they've got the IgG4 antibodies that allow
too.
Them to just be chronic
that.
Carriers of it.
Don't
with really
IgG4.
Little to no symptoms.
Right. The spike protein and Connexin 43 implicated in sudden cardiac deaths, died suddenly. What do we know about Connexin 43? Anything much?
No, I haven't read that. I don't know.
That's Walter Chestnut. I'll send it over. I just got it. mRNA vaccines, diabolical molecule can trigger cancer. This is another reprint of another story. Scientists confirm microplastics now detected in human testes. Microplastics go everywhere. Slay News, COVID shots linked to a surge. We've talked about this. In rare autoimmune disease, study finds. 65 coaches in America who died suddenly from COVID-19 mRNA injections. They're given a little coverage by Dr. Henry Mackis and his Substack. So the deaths are just stupendous out there, and no one is aware of them. And yet most everyone knows people who have died or are dying or who are injured, and that's just now part of life. Oh, well. Now, here's one. Venezuelan invaders are being blamed for an 84% of all the measles cases which have broken out in major Chicago outbreak. It's all linked to Venezuelan invaders. We talked about this years ago, that these people are bioweapons carrying, in some cases, a satchel full of things that they can spread around.
Yeah.
None of them are being really checked. They're certainly not being vaxxed.
No.
One good story.
Not that they want to.
Yes. A court has ruled that a university, which has this mandatory injection policy, is guilty of violating the U.S. Constitution. Good. Many colleges still require their young people to be given the bioweapon death shot. How clever, huh? The CDC has admitted now that COVID injections have killed 500,000 children and young adults in America. Well, if you have been listening at all, you'll know to multiply the 500,000 by at least a factor of 10, and you might be close. That's 5 million.
It's interesting
million, in
how the narrative
the
has shifted now.
Yes. Well, they've got their shots. They're done. They did it.
Right.
The hell do they care? Okay, we have a CHD magic bus story that's entitled "I Make Ivermectin." Set this up, will you?
Well, this is a pharmacist, and he's going to talk about ivermectin and the misinformation campaign that went on, and how effective it is for this virus.
All right, here we go.
We are live. Tell us your name, please.
My name is Josh Harrison. I'm a PharmD in Johnson City, Tennessee.
And for those that don't know, what does I'm a PharmD mean?
Doctor of pharmacy.
Okay.
So a pharmacist for most people.
All right, yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
And you make ivermectin?
We do. We sell it over the counter without a prescription in the state of Tennessee. So people can come in, fill out a form, and then we make it and dispense it based on their body weight.
What a nice thing to hear. Bravo to this guy. Good job, Josh. Good job.
So what exactly is ivermectin?
Ivermectin is actually an anti-parasitic drug. We use it as a deworming medicine for most people. It's what they would recognize it as. But it has a lot of other benefits, anti-inflammatory, antiviral, antibacterial, that we've kind of discovered after COVID kicked off and we were looking for ways to treat COVID.
So here in Tennessee, people could just come and get it. There was never a problem like there have been in all the other states.
I think it was a year and a half ago, the state of Tennessee allowed us to do that. So we worked with Dr. Sibley and the Board of Pharmacy to allow us to do it over the counter with a collaborative practice agreement with Dr. Sibley. So basically, the pharmacy signs an agreement with the doctor, and then we send that to the Board of Pharmacy, and that allows us to do it over the counter without a prescription per se. From another doctor.
So have you seen good results from it?
We have. We've seen some, amazing things happen. People that should have probably died or been in the hospital did quite well using ivermectin and over-the-counter supplements during COVID. So
why do you think that the powers that were during the pandemic, why do you think they actively stopped everybody from using ivermectin?
I think one, it's a cheap drug. There's no money in it for a pharmaceutical company, you know, so there's just not money there. I think the other part was they don't want to admit that they were incorrect. You know, whoever that person may be or that group may be, it's hard to say that you led a lot of people in the wrong direction. So I think it's more just not wanting to admit the mistake or acknowledge that there are other ways to do things.
I think you've hit the nail on it. No money in it, number one.
No, yeah. It's like supplements, vitamins and supplements. There's not money in it. It's not a $10,000 drug that someone can patent. So there, even if it works, there's not going to be studies to show that it works.
Okay, how do you make ivermectin?
I should say that there are papers, there are studies, lots of them now, that are suggesting that ivermectin has, what was it? I think over a dozen different anti-cancer mechanisms that have been pretty much isolated and studied. But it really does have a very big role to play in apparently many cancers, not all. Ivermectin promotes programmed cancer cell death, all right, including apoptosis, autophagy, and pyroptosis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fabulous drug. It's mm-hmm. it's called the safest pharmaceutical drug ever created by many people, and that may well be an understatement.
We purchased powder from, and this is where a lot of people don't really know how we do it. We purchase FDA powder from an FDA-approved facility. So we use the same powders that the drug companies use to make ivermectin tablets. So we're not buying it from a Chinese lab or some kind of weird place. They all come from FDA facilities. So we buy pharmaceutical-grade ingredients, and then we basically do the math and capsule it. We have capsule machines, and we put it together based on body weight and the math from the capsules.
Because people are saying you should get it compound. You shouldn't just be buying this prescription stuff because it's not as good.
Well, the big thing with what we do is we make it based on your body weight. So if you get the tablets are 3 milligrams. So if you need a 21 milligrams, you'd have to take 7 tablets to get one dose. So what we do is we put 22 milligrams in one capsule, so you take one capsule. You have less pill burden, so you don't have to take a handful of tablets. And we just do it based on body weight.
Yeah, this is really encouraging. Ivermectin ought to be over the counter. When they made Benadryl, which was a prescription-only item, over the counter, it was a smart move. No one's abused it. No one's misusing Benadryl. It's very helpful.
Yeah.
It's a very good antihistamine. So I think this is another one that ought to be over the counter. It is over the counter if you buy it in a farm store, an ag store. You can get tubes of it. You can buy the tubes of it from Amazon. It's just straight away. And by the way, some of you are afraid to take the ivermectin in a horse deworming labeled tube, which is actually not a tube you squeeze out. It looks like almost a syringe. You just dispense a small amount, about the size of a pea, and take that every day. That's what is common. But it's an extraordinarily helpful drug in many cases, and the jury is still not quite fully in, but it looks like it may be one of the most successful drugs ever.
It's
a good one.
Giving out medical advice here, but would you say that someone who's starting to feel a bit sort of fluey should just start taking it, or how do you take ivermectin?
We know it has antiviral properties. We don't know for sure if it treats the flu, but it's not going to hurt you. So the flu and COVID overlap symptomatically. So we don't really know, if you have sniffles or a fever or a cough, it could be either one. So I would say I would take it if it were me, but that's,
Words to the wise, don't wait to find out if it's the flu or COVID. COVID, the viral bioweapon, is now part of the landscape. It's not going to go away. You must act intelligently. And if for you, the word prophylactic comes in, fine. It won't hurt you. This drug is that safe. It's extraordinary.
Ivermectin kill you?
I've not seen any reports of death from ivermectin. Early on, there was a lot of discussion about people taking ivermectin and having toxicities and liver failure, liver damage. A couple things with that. They're probably taking something from, like a farm store, and they're using the injectable form or the paste, like the horse paste. Dosing is very tricky. When you're trying to dose a 2,000-pound animal versus, a 150-pound person, they might have just taken too much.
Now, there are people who suggests that if you err a little bit and you take a little more than they'd suggest, no one's reporting any ill effects. Not that I've heard.
No, that's right. You know, the only precaution is if you have a leaky blood-brain barrier, it's not supposed to get into the brain. You don't want it in the brain.
Right, of course. Yes.
And there are some people that have trouble with that permeability glycoprotein that's supposed to keep it from staying inside of a cell, the MDR1 mutation. But those people are rare. And so for the most part, for most people, it's safe. You have to watch out for die-off, because if you do have parasites and you're getting symptoms after you take ivermectin, it may in fact be the die-off that's making you feel unwell.
Right.
Yeah.
The average human body can be expected to potentially house, I think it's about 130 different parasites. There are a lot of them that people get. They never know they have them. If they're healthy, they're kept in check for the most part. But yes, Herxheimer's or die-off reaction always should be watched. Generally speaking, and I'm not giving any medical advice here, most people for years and years have reported that about, if you're a normal weight, normal size adult, about the size of a pea, a green pea from a tube, which is precisely exactly the same material that is in capsules or tablets, is about the right dose for most people. You can figure it out. And if you want to just do a search, how much ivermectin tube should I take? And it'll be right there online. It's not a mystery. But he's saying something that does make sense. The early stages of the bioweapon viral infection and a flu or even a bad cold can mimic each other and overlap. There are only so many symptoms that you can generate anyway. So I think his advice is quite good. And for him, that's what he said, he would start taking, if you got sniffles, ivermectin right away. Well, once a day, the size of a pea, if you just want to get the tube stuff, or if you want to get the capsules. It's out there. I noticed the wellness company is advertising they are selling ivermectin tablets, I think was their form. And you have to join, and then you talk to a doctor, and they write a prescription. So if you want to go that way, you can do that. You can buy it from pharmacies in India have it, which is, it's fine. It's not a hard drug to make. It's very simple. So there are a lot of options for you out there.
Had some side effects from that. The other thing is with veterinary products, the preservatives are different. And they have a lot more because it's for a larger animal. So if we take, let's say it was aluminum in an injection for a horse, and we apply that to a person, you could have neurologic side effects.
Do you know anybody who's actually ever got an injectable form of ivermectin from an ag store, a horse store, and used it? Everybody uses the tube. It's a little paste.
No, I know some people are using a liquid.
Injectable liquid. Interesting.
Hmm.
All right.
Well, I think all the side effects that people had were probably from either overdosing themselves or just the type of preservative that was in the veterinary product that was not really good for a human.
Because, yeah, a lot of people were going to Tractor Supply buying the apple-flavored ivermectin and putting in a juicer.
The apple-flavored ivermectin antiparasitic for horses is very common. I've got tubes of it. And most people all over the place have it. And I don't think that I wouldn't touch an injectable form. No reason. What the hell you want a needle in you for?
Oh, no. People aren't injecting it. They're drinking it.
Ah. Well, anyway, the tube seems to be the way to go if you want to go with the horse stuff. And the apple flavored is better.
Yeah, so that's where, you know, if they just squirt a little bit on their finger, you know, that could be 3 grams or 5 grams or 2 grams. We don't really know exactly how much we're getting. And again, the preservatives for animals are totally different and the amounts they can use. So that I think that early on, that was a lot of what was happening when they said people had neurologic side effects or they had liver failure or whatever. But with ivermectin, we don't even really dose adjust ivermectin for kidney function or liver function. So it's not going to damage either one of those.
Anything else you want to say about ivermectin?
No, just that it's a good drug and I think we need to know more about it.
That's right. Now, what about the COVID shots in your pharmacy or whatever it is?
We actually don't give the COVID shots.
Nice.
No.
Bravo to him. Good man.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a killer. Good.
We never have. And, we'll just wait and see what happens with that. So.
You know what you should have in your pharmacy? Some of our Facts on Facts, Let the Science Speak books.
Sure. Yeah.
I think we should definitely be donating some books.
Yeah, we'd love to have them.
Showing people we've got some Facts
to
DVDs.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, there's a pharmacist with a conscience, an intelligent man. That's the state of Tennessee, which apparently allows this to happen. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a good catch. Thanks to Children's Health Defense, their bus tour. They're turning up a lot of really important anecdotal information. Well, that came from a professional, though, so it's a little more than anecdotal. Very good. All right, anything else on your table over there before we go take a look at the human toll of this unbelievable catastrophe?
No, let's do it.
All right, let me pull this up here.
There's a few left over from Friday.
Oh, yes. I remember. Okay. There's more than a few. ALS cases exploding. Dad with ALS. Let's start there. What do you say?
Yeah.
All right. Ladies first.
Okay. This is another update from Mike O'Mara. Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike O'Mara, for you who don't know, has been grievously, horrifically vax-injured. He is dying. He is very articulate with his words and his writing, describing what's happening to him and certainly pointing the figure at an horrifically incompetent and stupid medical establishment in this country. It's been frightening to read his stuff. Go ahead.
He says, "The stroke-type symptoms are getting worse. My head now swims in vertigo hell every night for hours on end. The muscle is gone everywhere, and I can only imagine, as part of the result, the arteries and nerves are being choked off, causing the extreme dizziness from lack of blood flow to the brain. I can barely speak anymore, as the muscle loss in my neck means I am choked when I try to do so."
Wow.
"The ALS forums everywhere are packed with cases like mine now, atypical, abnormal, turbo cases in young people, which all started the same way mine did, that the government-backed official forums are fighting to discredit and silence day by day. The old rules for diagnosing neuromuscular disease are over in the post-COVID vaccine era. This doesn't follow them. This doesn't show the exact same way normal ALS does on the old testing. This version makes no sense. We victims are not experiencing pure failure of our limbs, and yet we are rotting away in our bodies, the muscle dying and our function dying along with it just the same. There is no way back. There is no cure. There is no help. God, if you are there, end this. I cannot bear this constant torture any longer."
Go ahead and do the next one. Next page.
Somebody responds to that. "I cannot even stand nor think, yet my MRI is totally fine. This makes no sense." And Mike replies, "True evil. The bioweapon doesn't follow the old rules. It will not show up until the very end in most." And she replies, "That's exactly what is happening to me, except for the coagulation disorder."
Well, that's our stage 4 turbo cancers being discovered, and people are dead in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Same idea. Okay, here's another. I belong to an ALS group and have for years because my cousin's husband had ALS. The amount of people in there that now have ALS after the shot is ridiculous. They surveyed them, and 75% that answered said yes, they were diagnosed shortly after their shots. What cruelty you guys are going through. And Mike responds, yes, it's hell on earth. It's mass murder. Another comment, in my honest opinion, this is basically Lyme disease. I believe everyone or the vast majority of people have dormant Lyme due to the particular bioweapon escaping or being purposely released from the Plum Island lab back in the 70s. Now, all deer ticks and many other insects are vectors. The COVID vaccine, like all vaccines, interferes with the normal function of the immune system. But the clot shot also has some particularly egregious poisons never before added, which are killing people. I believe that these issues will cause a mass extinction in the coming years, and that the effect is like progeria, that's rapid aging disease. Many people look fine, but many are dying in slow motion. Relief may be found by amending the immune system, of which the center is the digestive tract, via probiotics and Shilajit, but in suppressing the bad bacteria and spirochetes via an herbal approach, skullcap, cat's claw, wormwood, oregano, etc. Finally, my own goal is to prepare for my externally imposed death. If such, it must be. To be as honorable as possible, so I'm cleaning up my karma and confronting my personal demons as best as I can. And Mike responds to that, I have been through several Lyme doctors, highly rated by the ILADS. None of them could help me. This is not just Lyme and can't be helped by Lyme protocols. I tried multiple times for many years. Mike O'Mara. All right. So for those of you who think it's just Lyme, no, it's not.
Well, what's coming back for, you know, the people that are able to get testing for these reactivated infections, a lot of them do have Lyme. In fact, there was a woman on the forum yesterday that she's got 5 tick-borne infections.
Oh.
5. She's got Borrelia, got 2 forms of Babesia, Bartonella, and there was one other one.
Uh-huh.
But these
well, those are parasites.
That's a lot to deal with.
Those are parasitically induced infections.
Yeah, and there has been talk that probably the vast majority of adults, by the time they reach adulthood, do have Lyme. But their immune systems keep it
right
in check.
Right.
You know, you won't know you have it unless you get a COVID shot.
It stays subclinical until it's released with a bioweapon injection. Yeah.
Or some other stressor.
No, exactly. All right, here's one called Dad is showing clear signs of ALS onset. Go ahead. Take both of these.
All right. Hi, all. I think my family is about to join the world's worst club. I need to vent a little bit. A month or two ago, my dad, 74 years old, started having trouble swallowing, and his normally strong voice turned hoarse. We thought it was a stroke at first. Since then, he's developed trouble breathing anytime he lies down, extreme fatigue and signs of aphasia, mild cognitive impairment. He has lost weight and muscle mass at a frightening pace. I started noticing some mental changes with him about a year ago, namely an unusual level of apathy, but it just looked like aging or maybe depression. I've suspected bulbar onset ALS for a couple weeks now after researching the symptoms. I'd hoped I was wrong. Yesterday, my parents met with their doctor, and she says the local neurologist he recently saw suspects ALS. That's the first time a doctor has said it out loud, and they've been doing tests for about 2 months. My parents were shocked and are reeling. It's not a definitive diagnosis yet, but he has an appointment next month with a major university hospital in our nearest city. We want to get the appointment moved up, but that may not be possible. Mom has just a ton of medical trauma. She has her own set of chronic and painful lifelong health issues, was a Delcon Shield victim in the 70s, and is reaching the age where her own parents started to decline. My dad's mother is still alive and living independently at 98. She outlived her husband and her oldest son, who both died young of heart attacks. I'm going to be beyond pissed at God or the universe or whatever if she has to outlive my dad, too. I'm not a natural caregiver or an emotionally demonstrative person. Ask me what emotions I'm feeling, and the likely answer is I don't know. My relationship with my father is profoundly complicated. He was in law enforcement and took a lot of his trauma and anxiety out on me as a teenager. I am calm and effective in a crisis and a skilled advocate, but when it comes to dealing with sentiment and emotions, I'm at a loss. How do people do this? I don't know how I'm going to do this. And, well, one answer, it's not easy, but after the initial shock wears off, it gets a little easier to accept. It's normal to feel rage and sadness and frustration when diagnosed, so don't feel bad for having that reaction.
Now, they didn't mention number of injections in the bigger piece that Erica just read, but we'll assume that this is a result of the injection of the bioweapon.
Well, injection or infection, don't underestimate the virus.
No, I don't. We've been trying to say that, I think, more than anyone else. Remember in the beginning how they tried to pass off this bioweapon viral infection as being just a cold, light flu, don't worry. No, au contraire. The flu and a cold don't give you spike protein, etc. Think
well,
about
that,
it.
That's its signature. It leaves a mark on the person. And now, don't forget, even mild cases showed changes on a brain MRI.
Yes.
You know, unfavorable, like rapid aging.
And don't forget, you just heard somebody, 2 months' worth of tests, those aren't cheap. And no insurance pays 100%. You've got a big deductible, if you're lucky. And I think more and more insurance companies are going to begin to disavow coverage of this. They get to the point
where
they realize
again, it. You know, this is a clever way of siphoning off people's wealth. I mean, getting rid of the middle class, essentially.
Greatest transfer of wealth I've ever seen in medical science. Same tests. And remember, the great majority of these tests come back, how? Negative.
Well, you can't find anything.
Nope.
Unremarkable.
Nope. So, there we go. Post-vax brain changes. Now, you've got this first two double red lines crossed out. Don't read
that.
Yeah,
we had read that. That was somebody that had one J&J back in 2021.
Uh-huh.
And went to have an MRI. Initially, it was fine, but now, a couple of years later, you can see clear changes that the brain is aging.
This thing has so many different ways of it's anti-life from A to Z. Brain aging, physiologically changing your face, your joints, your physiology, your muscles, et cetera, et cetera. If they wanted to create a more thorough bioweapon for their genocide and wealth transfer, and I think that's really a part of it too, major part of it, they've taken every advantage and made it their own. Everything. All right. Here. I was 49 also with one J&J injection in April of 2021. Worst head pain for months. Had Bell's palsy. Week two. Fast forward to now with MS after white matter and now lesion on my spinal cord. They need to do a brain, an upper thoracic and lower thoracic MRI with contrast. More tests, ladies and gentlemen. More money. Went from marathons and Ironmans to walking like I'm a drunk with extreme fatigue issues and numbness everywhere. And one reply to that, yeah, I've got white matter hyperintensities too, explained as age-related. I was 52 at the time. No plans to repeat an MRI at this stage. I don't know what an MRI actually costs now in round numbers. Well, I want to find that out. What these bastards are doing is literally siphoning the lifelong earning and wealth acquired by these people who have been injected. They're taking their money.
Yeah, they are.
This is looting of the most satanic kind. Think about it. It's a massive transfer of wealth from billions of people around the world who are getting test after test after test, which turn out to be negative after negative after negative.
Yep.
The bills aren't let go, though. They want payment.
Well, and you know, you've got to play the insurance game if you still have insurance. You know, the insurance agrees to pay for, won't pay for.
Oh, they're being arbitrary about much of it now. Okay. Now, this is a big one, too. This bioweapon virus and the injection seem to like the vision of the person to mess with. They go after that optic nerve and things. All right, here, post-vax vision loss. You got that?
Yep.
Go to it.
Someone asked, has anyone's eyes been affected from the vax? Yes, actually, quite a few. I developed double vision. Actually, I found out a month ago that my eyes had lost the ability to focus/work together, typical for neurologic conditions. Mm-hmm. In the past 2 years, I visited 3 different optometrists, and they all brushed me off. I was complaining of a glow around the letters and a blurry vision. The 4th one corrected my vision with prism lenses. This is how I realized that I have been actually seeing double. It took him 2.5 hours to figure it out, and I'm glad that he cared enough to devote this much time to helping me. Next person says, oh my God, yes. Vision changes, blurred vision in one eye, oil glands have dropped out, severe dry eye, eye floaters, blurted spots in vision, red veiny eyes, extreme light sensitivity, constant burning eyes. I'm using eye drops every 2 hours. Next person, yep, severe dry eyes, 2 post-vitreous detachments, floaters, convergence disorder. It is hell.
And here's another one. Yes, vision deteriorating. Burning sensation, acid-like tears, dry eyes, sore, high inflammation. Hurts to even close my eyes at times. Peripheral deterioration, sensitive to light and sun. Floating specks in vision. Difficulty with shadows. Imaging movements peripherally. And someone adds to that, heck yes, arguably one of my biggest complaints, blurry, grainy, awful light sensitivity, and floaters. Someone says, yes. Another person says, yes, I was just complaining to my husband tonight on the way home that I can't see, that everything seems blurry or dark or something. If I've been having this problem off and on for 2.5 years now, or she says, I have been having this problem off and on for 2.5 years. And someone says, it's awful. Another person says, the air kind of looks unstable. Plus the light is a bit lighter and the dark is a bit darker than it should be. At night, the darkness looks like a bad impressionist painting. It's kind of mottled. So look at all the different symptoms here, just with the eyes. And you see why you can go into a doctor and end up taking 100 tests. And come back with nothing. There's too many symptoms. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it continues. Another one says, yes, floaters. and they're dry and they've shrunken. Next one, yes, I'm still dealing with it, but no doctor I talk to believes what I tell them. Next one, yes, corneal neuropathy in both of them. Next one, yes, I have to wear glasses now just to drive. Yes, blurry vision. Last one, 100% yes, my eyes became so yellow with blood pulling around the iris. I've gotten some relief from good eye drops, a brooder mask, and a good eye doctor who put little tubes into my tear ducts so my eyes aren't so dry. I still have bouts of blurry, hazy vision, and some days the whites are still very yellow. As a side note, I've had all the liver testing. It was normal.
Well, All right, there's two more in this group. Let's not necessarily this group, but let's finish these. Someone writes in, "Hello again. I have a question. How safe, this is about shedding, how safe is it to use the same utensils, like forks and spoons, mugs, etc., that someone else who's been vaxxed is using? I'm not very careful with all that, and when washing dishes, I use the same sponge anyway, as I read that it's not easy to even sterilize that from disease transmission." That's correct.
Actually, this is not shedding. This is CJD. This is
is it?
Somebody who has a family member with CJD, and they're concerned whether or not it's contagious.
Well, let's back up. This has to do with, can you spread CJD through using the same utensils or washing them with the same sponge? I wouldn't do that on a bet. No way.
Well, until recently, we could assume that it was not transmissible that way.
Prions, proteins, yes.
No, you would have to come into direct contact with the nerve tissue, and, you know.
So no prions in the saliva? No prions in the saliva?
Well, maybe there are, but it's not known.
Are they in the blood?
Haven't been known to spread that way. The, the traditional.
Mm-hmm. Are prions in the blood? Yes, the answer is yes. We think so.
But now with this new thing, whatever this new form of CJD is that they've identified as rapid onset type.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. Maybe not. It's.
Well, let's take a
quick
survey.
I guess we're at the mercy of time.
Here's what three or four people say. Is it transmissible? No, it's 100% safe. It is only spread through spinal fluid. We don't know about that. Someone else says, thank you. Someone else adds, absolutely 100% safe to do that. Someone also adds, it's safe. I would urge caution. I don't like the idea of sharing body fluids, which is what you're doing. You're sharing saliva. 50% of the people at all times have blood in their saliva and blood products in their saliva. And if somebody kisses somebody or brushes their teeth vigorously and then uses a mug that you use, there is 90% of chance that they'll have blood in their saliva. 90. After toothbrushing or vigorous kissing. So I think these are common sense now. You don't want to take any chance of swapping body fluids or blood products with anybody. You just don't.
Mm.
Not smart. Would you agree?
Yes. Yep. Not worth it.
No.
It's a deployed bioweapon. Come on.
And thought out and planned and created for years. They knew exactly what they were going to do with this. They know. All right, anything you want to add there? Good job.
Nope.
As always.
That should do it.
All right, we hope this was helpful for you. To make of it what you will, it's your choice. We're not here to tell you what to do. But do think about these things and pass the programs around. listen twice if you have any questions. We're here to help. That's what we're doing. All right. Thank you, young lady.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Good night,
okay.
Everyone.
Be right back with another hour for all of you next.